Blog Talk Radio.
It's not a catchphrase, it is a way of life. You guys know, and everybody else knows, that one man can make a difference.
Dude, are you kidding me? March for Death is probably the greatest Steven Seagal movie ever. He's not only, in the very end, in the final fight, not only does he gouge a guy's eyes out, he throws him through a wall, breaks his back, and then throws him down an elevator shaft. Greatest death scene ever.
So yeah, I actually got to meet the black guy from T-Dog from
Wow, that's a great description, Don.
Intro seems longer every single time I hear it.
Just because it continues to show your racism.
My racism. I am so far from racist. I am the most unracist person ever. I've shaken hands with many people from many different races.
I have a friend and he is black, so I am not racist.
I have a girlfriend and he is black. What's up, everybody? This is Don Warren here with the, I guess, infamous Justin Clayton. And welcome to this week's edition of Moose Knuckle Radio.
How are you?
I'm really, we're already having technical difficulties and it's like 30 seconds in. Okay, now that's just obnoxious. I'm good. You know, I'm excited. Once again...
I think that's Justin. It's not me. I just want to clear that up.
Dean, get your stuff together, okay?
It's not me.
Producer, produce. Produce results.
I control Justin.
That's what our show is going to be. Hour and a half of button pressing. Which number am I pressing? Are you done, Justin?
I'm back.
Oh, good. Okay. Would you give the phone to your son for a few?
No, I'm trying to figure out how to work Skype.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. For a guy who's so far ahead of the curve with his Macs, you're pretty behind the curve.
No, I just don't know how to use Microsoft products, which is why I don't use them.
Which is why you're not going to be relevant in 10 years.
Probably.
Once the Apple boom explodes. You get it? I'm trying to say Apple sucks. Do you understand what I'm...
Don?
I think he had a coronary. I'm not...
Okay, so it's the Dean and Justin show.
we do seem to have lost Mr. Warren. We're trying to get reconnected with him now. So, Justin, how are you tonight?
Now that Don's not around yelling at me, I'm pretty good.
I think Don has rejoined us. Don Warren.
I'm here. I've been here the whole time.
Don just had a heart attack.
You guys are killing me. Oh, my God. Anyway, Justin, what's up, buddy?
Nothing much. Just got a couple more days. 3 more days until the old release.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the drop of your testicles. I didn't realize you were talking about the release. The PlayStation 4, you must be really excited about this.
Yes, I am. And I have to hit puberty before my testicles can drop.
Well, I know. Which is weird because your voice sounds awfully puberty-ish.
Yes.
And it's just, I guess your penis and you know, genitals don't reflect that, but, you know, that's a different story.
Could be.
So you got the PlayStation drop-in. What are you – now, how are you acquiring this? Like, are you going the night before? Are you going the day of? Did you already reserve it? Like, what? How'd you do it?
I reserved it, and I'm getting it at midnight on Thursday.
You're going to go wait in line at midnight and go get it?
Yep.
And you're probably how many hours of the next week do you think are going to be dedicated to the PlayStation 4?
I would say a minimum of a half an hour.
For the whole week?
Yes, at least a half an hour, I will tell you that much.
What about the maximum?
Let's see, minus the few hours that we're going to be up in Pennsylvania filming for Patient 23 this weekend.
Okay.
I would say probably about around 16-ish.
For the whole week?
Yeah.
I doubt that. You got to remember, there's 168 hours in a week.
Yeah.
So you take out, say, I'll give you on the high end. Take out
fucking after the weekend.
Oh, after the weekend.
Yeah. Once I'm home from work, I'm probably going to be about 4 hours a day.
Okay. What's the first game you're getting for it?
Oh, that's tough. First actual, like, hard sale, like, disc game I'll be getting will be Killzone. But, you know, the first game that I'm actually going to play, I don't know.
Is it that racing game?
No, that got delayed.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
When's it delayed till?
Sometime in spring.
Oh, that must kill you.
Yes.
Were you sad? Did you cry about that?
Yes, and then I turned those tears. Somehow I fermented them and got drunk off them and cried some more about how much I want PlayStation 4.
So now what happens if you get PlayStation 4 and you hook it up and you're about to play it and you start playing it and it's not what you expected? How are you going to deal with that?
Well, considering you will be next to me, I will probably pull out a steak knife and gouge it in your eye.
All right. I mean, that is a logical expression
yeah.
of those emotions.
Yeah. Is usually the instant reaction that people of the nerd affinity have. You know, you just rage at things.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't consider myself a really hardcore nerd, but I know I have gone pretty psychotic over video games, either at times when they stopped in the middle of it or I lost at points that I was working hard to get or something. So I can see how you would go ballistic if something like that happened.
Yes.
What's the most damage you've ever caused or the most outrageous thing you've done because of a video game?
I'm not a rage gamer. Like, when I lose, I don't really, like, freak out all that much. You know, like,
okay.
My brother's broken controllers, broken headsets, stuff like that. I don't really rage because I spend too much money on the shit. Why should I be breaking it? You know what I mean?
I mean, I agree. I once threw a controller through a flat screen. So, and that ruined it because then I couldn't play the game at all.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it was one of those moments. I was just so angry, and I forget what game it was. It might have been like Grand Theft Auto, like 3 or something. And I was doing this one mission that I couldn't beat it. I forget what it was. And finally, I got to the end, and I thought it was done. And I forgot about the one guy behind me, and he fucking shot me, and I died. And I'm so mad.
It was probably Barbie's Dreamscape.
You know, that was it. That was it because I just got done playing My Little Pony,
yeah.
And then I was playing Barbie's Dreamscape, and that's right, because Ken left me for the black Barbie, what, Tanisha, or whatever her name was?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he left me for the black Barbie. So, you know, I got pretty mad, you know what I mean? Because I had built up this whole dream house and everything, and the Malibu dream house, and he didn't want to live in it with me, and it made me sad.
Well, you know, that's usually what happens, you know, when you don't go and get your fake breast implants in the Barbie games. You know, you have to live life as if you're living in Beverly Hills 90210.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, like, you would always go get fake implants in real life. So if you're playing Barbie's Dreamscape, you definitely got to get those fake implants. I mean, you know, how are you going to get ahead in life if you don't have fake implants? You know, real tits? Come on. You know when's going to get ahead in life in real tits?
And you also have to remember to make sure that, you know, David Silver's friend doesn't go and kill himself when he finds his dad's gun. That's a hard mission.
Well, that is too. And I mean, you know, it's I mean, and you know what? That's a hard game. A lot of people knock that game. It's a really hard game, and it really told the story of, you know, today's you know, modern day struggles. You know, as being a human, really told those stories. You know, I can't wait for Barbie's Dreamscape 2. You know, I'm just putting it out there.
Well, I believe it's just called Mattel Rape.
Okay. Okay. Well, either way, Mattel Rape. I mean, I'm excited about that too.
Yeah.
No, actually, though, in all seriousness, I just saw a preview for what's the name of the game? The one where all the Marvel characters are fighting.
Lego Marvel.
What is it?
Lego Marvel.
No. The real game, not the Lego game. Someone just posted it. For a life of me, I can't remember. It's like Batman, Superman.
Because Batman and Superman are in Marvel, you mean?
Well, no, I meant, sorry, the superheroes, not the Marvel superheroes. It's all the superheroes. Flash is in it.
Yeah, Injustice, Gods Among Us.
Yes. That game looks awesome.
Yeah.
It's
actually been out for a while, but the one that they're playing the commercials for is at the, like, Ultimate Edition, and they're releasing it on PlayStation 4 as well with the upgraded, you know, the updated graphics and everything. And I was reading an article today. There was they interviewed the guys that are making it, and they said, you know, what's it going to add? Like, how much better is it going to look? And they were saying that they really had to compress a lot of the files in order to get them to fit onto the 720p PlayStation 3. And now they're able to actually have the file, like the art files and all that other stuff, the way that they're supposed to look. And it's displayed in, you know, at 1080p, 60 frames a second, all that other fun stuff.
Oh, yeah. And I just looking at it, I mean, it looked really good. I mean, and it's a shame, too, because so many games nowadays, when you see the preview, every game looks almost amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's hard not to want to play every single game that comes out. I mean, a lot of games lack in their storyline, their playability, the actual gameplay. But, you know, every game looks amazing. So every time I see a game, I'm like, I want it so bad. And then I play it, and it just doesn't live up to the hype.
And that's what I love about the PlayStation Plus membership. Like, they only release good games on it. I think they go off the Metacritic is what helps them decide what games they're going to release through there, because they give you free games.
Yeah.
Like, you pay, like, it's like $50 a year, and then every month you get a couple free games and whatnot. And they go on Metacritic and say, well, you know, what are the aggregate scores of this thing? What did this do? And if it's not at least an 8.5, they're not going to put it on there. So you're guaranteed to be getting games that are going to be fun. I mean, whether they're in your genre or not, I play everything. So, you know, except for JRPGs, I'm kind of over those. And I know Dean probably wants to choke me for saying that, but I'm kind of over those. But they release only good games on there. So I could sit there and play a game for a good couple months, and by the time I'm done with that game, there's another game on there that I want to play, so I'll just download it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a really good feature, too, because, you know, for years, you know, like I said, we never had that. I mean, you would have to go out and buy a game. And granted, like, you know, GameStop was amazing for gamers, because when they started introducing, like, you could turn in games and get money back and things like that, that was an amazing thing, because now you could go out and get a game, play it. If you didn't like it, you could take it back and you get some credit for it, you know, towards another game that you may like or you may not like.
Yeah, because Sony took a stance and said, listen, we're not going to restrict people from taking their games back, because originally when the Xbox One was announced, they wanted it to be where, you know, you can't resell your games, you know, you register your game for that system and this and that. And then it kind of turned into something else where it was like a bastardized version of that, where you kind of could, but only with special realtors that worked with Microsoft and had their stuff, and then finally people were still blowing up, and then they just gave in and were like, okay, whatever way Sony does it, that's how we're doing it. Because Sony just came out and they're like, listen, we don't care. Like, you buy this game. This game is your property. You own it. You can sell it. You can trade it. You can do whatever you want with it. I mean, obviously you can't copy it. You still have – there's still certain right – you know, copyright laws and stuff like that as far as, you know, like DVDs and Blu-rays and whatnot. But, like, you can go and – I can go out and buy, you know, the Avengers, watch it, and then give it to you and be like, here, I think you'll like this better. You'll watch it and be like, man, it was pretty gay. And then give it to Dean, and Dean will love it, and then, you know, keep it forever. You know what I mean? Like, we could do that with DVDs because there's no, you know, DRM on there. The thing about Sony, you know, they were just like, whatever, do, you know, do that. And the now – they're also pushing the PlayStation Store. They have Day One Digital and all that stuff. There is an appeal to digital for lazy people like me that don't like getting off the couch to switch games. So I'm kind of like, you know, on the fence about, okay, do I want to have an entire digital library or do I want to be able to trade in games that I don't want to play anymore? You know, so there's kind of like that. Right now, I know for some guys, there's that, and gals, there's that kind of balancing act. Because I want an all-digital library. I'm going to see how long I can last having an all-digital library. Because ever since I became a PlayStation Plus member, I've seen that, you know, digital is great. You know, you just download the game, you play it, and then when you're done, you delete it. And if you ever want to come back to it, you just play it again. But if you're paying $60 a game and you don't like it, you know, you want to take it back, you know, you have the digital version, you're kind of stuck.
Well, yeah, and I, you know, like I said, the main thing, and I think the thing about all, you know, and if you go with any aspect of, you know, kind of computers, entertainment, things like that, is accessibility. You know, you start with computers, and now they have the cloud where you can access all your stuff from anywhere. You know, Netflix, you know, really started that where you can watch, you know, everything from anywhere. You know, and they're just capitalizing on the same thing. You know, you're right. People are lazy. They don't want to get up. You don't want to have to get up and change a DVD. You don't want to get up and change a game. So now you can sit back and you can, you know, watch this stuff and play this stuff and not really have to put much effort for it. You know, and for all intents and purposes, things like that are relatively cheap. You know, had you had a service, you know, on your cable 10 years ago that was like Netflix, it was a premium channel that had all these different shows and movies and stuff, you'd be paying $30-$40 a month for it. You know what I mean? But now you have something like Netflix where you're paying $10 a month and whatever. How much is the PlayStation?
The PlayStation Plus?
Yeah.
It's $50 a year.
Exactly. So, you know, you have these things that are super cheap and you know, for people to get it, I mean, it's like a no-brainer. You know, you get it and you have all this content and you can do all these things that really keep you engrossed in the device, you know, like the PlayStation or if another device that has Netflix or whatever, you get engrossed in it, and it's basically something that you can always use, and it's something that never gets old, and people will use it. There will be people.
Did we lose him again?
No, I think he's still there, but he's just hanging in the cloud.
Had another heart attack.
Oh, I think we did lose him now, Justin. So, you're talking about this PlayStation 4. You're excited about it. We talked about your first games. What other games are you excited for? Hey, I think Don's back, so take it away, guys.
Well, I was here the whole time.
You weren't. You dropped the call on our end.
I'm sorry. Well, what I was saying, I was saying that. When you have, like, a device like the PlayStation, I don't know where you guys left me, but I said Walmart came out with their Black Friday ad, and basically they're selling the PlayStation 3 at $150 this year, $149.95. And I guarantee that's going to sell out because you're going to have a lot of people that are going to go get the PlayStation 3 because it's a device that's still relevant, that they still can use, that still doesn't get old. And this is 6 years after they released it. So the same thing's going to happen with the PlayStation 4. 6 years down the line, people are still going to be buying it and still going to be using it because it's something that, you know, even if you took the rest of your life and sat down, you would probably not be able to play every single game that's come out with it, beat every single thing that's come out with it, watch every single thing on Netflix on it. Like, it's just something that never gets old, and it's such a moneymaker, and it is an amazing device. I mean, coming from, you know, back in the day when we had PlayStation or even the first computers that came out, those big bulky like gateways and the Macs and stuff like that. It's, you know, it's an amazing device, and for what is it, $500, $400?
Yeah,
you can't beat that. I was gonna say, yeah, you can't beat that. I mean, for that price, you can't beat that.
Well, yeah, and their marketing. You also have to talk about, you know, their marketing on the whole thing. Is when you think of PlayStation and Xbox, what do you think of?
Games.
When you think of Roku and Apple TV, what do you think of?
Movies, the shows.
The Xbox and the PlayStation, they can both do everything your Roku and your Apple TV can do, with the exception of, you know, obviously you can't tap into, you know, your iTunes movies on either of them, and you can't, there's, you know, certain things exclusive to your Roku box.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Which one do you have?
I actually have a Logitech Review. Same difference.
So the Review. So there's certain things on, you know, that are exclusive to the Review. And that's what, you know, and that's how the majority of people look at it in the world. When you say, hey, you know, I want the new PlayStation. Oh, so you want to play new video games. I want the new Xbox. Oh, you want to play new video games. People aren't, you know, when Microsoft, when they first came out, they, you know, with the Xbox One, when they first started advertising it, they were saying, you can do, you know, this with your TV. You can hook it up and you can watch TV like this. You can do it like that. You can do it like this.
Yeah.
It comes with a 500 gigabyte hard drive built into it, has TV integration, but it's not a DVR.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
What? Like... They have the, like, they just have this system that doesn't really, I don't know what it is and why you want it, you know, unless you're like a, like, that's where your friends play video games, then that's where you go type thing. I don't see a reason for getting an Xbox, getting a PlayStation, when I have a company that's telling me, and I know, you know, we break each other's balls about, you know, you're a Google file and I'm an Apple file type thing.
Yeah.
But we both know these are two large corporations that could give two shits about us. All they want is our money. And that's how, Sony and Microsoft are. But
exactly.
I would rather give my money to somebody who's going to at least, attempt to take the time to pretend they understand me. Now, I have confidence that the people running the PlayStation division in Sony do understand the gamers. They understand what we want. You know, they talk.
They are gamers. They are gamers.
Yeah, and they talk to them on, you know, like the gaming websites like NeoGAF and Reddit, and, you know, they talk to them on Twitter. And Microsoft does the same thing. But things that I've noticed about the differences is like, the Sony guys are a lot more candid. They're a lot more down to earth. The Microsoft guys, you get a lot of PR talk from them, which is kind of annoying. But it's not, you know, unexpected from Microsoft.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you have a company that understands you, then why not, you know, why wouldn't you gravitate towards them, you know?
Well, yeah. And, you know, like I said, you know, the problem is, you know, basically Microsoft had a development department, a research and development department, and they said, we want to make a gaming system. PlayStation was a gaming company. So they weren't a big company that said, oh, we're going to try to make games now and make videos, you know, consoles. PlayStation was a company that already did that, was in that business for doing that. Microsoft, they got a bunch of guys and they were tech guys and they worked on computers and said, hey, make a gaming console. So those guys didn't relate to the gamers as much. They were making this as another product for Microsoft, whereas PlayStation was making this because that's what they do. They make gaming systems, and that's why each time, you know, it's shown better and better and better, and it's related to the gamers each time. And that's why most people that are gamers, that are hardcore gamers, will lean towards the PlayStation as opposed to the Xbox, because they see it, you know, and they know that. But now, you know, Xbox, you know, people who aren't gamers, lots of young children, families, things like that, they're like, oh, the Xbox is good, it's made by Microsoft, and they get that. Same reason, like, they love the Wii. But hardcore gamers will always go, as long as they keep the product that they're doing, you know, as good as it is, they will always go with PlayStation.
Yes and no. I mean, you do have your brand loyalists. Like, you will have guys that, no matter what, they're going to go with Microsoft, no matter, you know, what you tell them, what you show them, you know, what the hard facts are. They're going to go with Microsoft and be like, oh, you know, Sony's evil or whatever. But I just can't see it. I don't see the reasoning behind going towards, you know, a company that doesn't bother to know what I want. Like, if you're going to market to me, then market to me. You know, like, sorry, I was distracted by something on Twitter. Don't insult me by trying to market over my head, like, assuming, you know, assuming that, oh, well, I bought the place or the Xbox 360. So this guy's going to love our product so much, he's going to buy the Xbox One. So we don't have to bother marketing to him. Like, tell me why I should like it. Tell me why I should want that. And then maybe I'll give you a shot. And then when you do, don't put the entire system behind some kind of paywall, like they do. I just forgot the name of it again.
What's that?
Your Roku box.
Oh, it's actually Google TV. It's a Logitech review, but it's
okay.
Google.
So yeah. Oh, so it's like the precursor to Chrome.
Basically, yeah.
So your Google TV, you plug it in, you watch it, right?
Yes.
My Apple TV, I plug it in, I watch it. Everything on there, I know you have access to a lot more stuff that's free, like the internet and stuff like that. You know, there is no built-in Safari for the Apple TV, and that's only because, from what I could be wrong, but I heard one story was that Apple's not happy with the resolution of TVs yet, so that's why they kept the thing off. I don't know.
I mean, mine looks amazing. I mean, I love the feature of mine where I can go and actually search the internet just like a regular web browser on my computer.
Well, the resolution of TVs has gone up so much, you know.
Yeah.
Like, once you hit that 1080p, which is standard now, it's looking like a computer. You know,
you're not going to get much better. You're not going to get much clearer. You're not going to get much better than that. I mean, Apple does that every year. Oh, we got the Retina display. It's better. It's like, once you get to that good a resolution, it's very hard to tell the difference between, you know, that those levels up there.
Yeah, for a device like an iPad, yes, Retina is what you need. Now, if you're talking about a TV, you have a 50-inch Retina TV. If you're sitting that close to the TV to where you can actually tell the difference between a Retina and a 1080p, you're an asshole because you're sitting way too close to your TV.
Exactly.
You know, the next big thing is, oh, 4K TVs, you know, it can, you know, you can see, you know, all these great freaking things. You can see, you know, pimple on a fly's ass. Like, why would I want to see that when I have to sit right up on top of the TV to notice any difference?
Well, you know, it's funny that, you know, you talk about that because, you know, someone told me, one of my college professors told me this. He says, you know, 3D TVs now, it's not actually, you know, three dimensions. He's like, you know, what three dimensions would really be is like, say if you're watching a football game and they got the angle from one goalpost and they're facing the other goalpost. 3D TV would be able, like, be looking in that TV and seeing the depth and seeing how far it is, and that would be real 3D TV. The stuff flying at your face, that's not real 3D, you know, and they will develop that at some point, so it will look like, you know, that your TV goes 400 yards back. That's real 3D. But a lot of people don't realize. They're like, oh, this stuff. And it's actually just a marketing ploy, because what's going to happen in a couple of years, once they come out with real 3D TV, this flying stuff at your face and the glasses and all that, it's going to be obsolete, and it's not going to look real anymore.
Well, yeah, but not only that, but like right now, the big, well, 3D's dying anyway, because it comes every 30 years. It was big in the 50s, it was big in the 80s, and, you know, now it's big in 2000, it was big in 2012. Every, like, 30-ish years, someone comes along and goes, oh, we have a new way to do 3D, and then people go, okay, that's awesome, and then they realize it's not, and then they're just kind of like, whatever. So
I remember watching, I went to Disney World when I was like 11 maybe, and I remember going to one of the attractions there, and it was Honey, I Shrunk the Kids in 3D, and this was probably 94, 95.
Yeah.
And it's the same exact thing that I went and saw, you know, Captain America with, you know, and the only thing, the only difference was that the resolution was better. That was the only difference. Everything else was exactly the same, but the picture was a lot clearer. That's the only difference that happened. And that's what happens. Like in the 50s, they had it, and they were like, oh, it's new now in the 80s, but it was just the resolution was better. It's not new. It's not new technology. It's the same stuff.
Well, from the 50s to the 80s, they changed it a bit because you had the multicolored glasses, and then they changed it to a different thing. And
yeah, you know. You know, you were talking earlier, we mentioned very briefly about DVRs, and, you know, I can't wait for them to come out with, I mean, you can get a DVR, if you get, like, Comcast, or you get Dish, or whatever service you use, usually you can get the DVR built in, and if you go to a store, you can get a TiVo, which is, I guess, the only, one of the only market DVRs you can get. I can't wait till they start coming out with real DVRs. Like, you know, like you used to be able to buy a VCR or a DVD player. Like, I hate now that, you know, DVRs that you get, you either have to have it with Comcast.
That'll never happen.
You don't think so?
No. Comcast has cornered that market, man. They will put so many barriers up and fight that so hard. I mean, Grant, yes, you can. If you go out and you buy yourself an external hard drive, plug it into your TV or, you know, or your laptop, and then run your laptop to your TV, you can record your stuff that way.
Well,
that's pretty much the only way you're going to be able to pull that off, recording your own, is through a laptop. The Comcast will fight that tooth and nail, you know, because they would be losing so much money.
Well, yeah, because I had... for a long time, I had Dish, and their DVR was amazing. I think it's way better than Comcast ever was. Even the I have the X1 like you do.
Yeah.
Way better. Way better. The storage, I mean, of course, the storage was a lot more, but just the features they had and the way it ran and how smooth it was way better. And I remember when I moved up to where I'm at now, I moved from Wildwood, I moved up here, and we got Comcast. I didn't want to use Comcast. DVR, and this was the old one before the X1, the one they had before this, and I didn't want to use it because I hate that DVR. That DVR sucks.
Yeah.
It's slow, you always have issues with it, whatever.
Angry to watch TV.
Yeah. So, when I got up here, I didn't have a DVR, so I was like, alright, let me go buy a DVR that's not from Comcast. So I went out and got a TiVo. I don't care what anybody says, TiVo is the most annoying piece of shit in the world. He really is, because he's like, oh, I got suggestions for you, and I got this, and I got that. And then, like, you know, they sign you up, and you got to pay, like, $14 a month, and it's all this, like, ridiculous things. And I canceled it, and they still charge me, you know, out the butt every month, and it's insane. So I would love for a company just to, you know, stick it to Comcast and say, you know, we're coming out with a DVR. And just a real DVR, like, no strings attached. Like, it's just a DVR. You don't have to get all this other features and all this stuff. It's just a DVR. You can record, you can stop, you can play, things like that. I mean, and you're right. Comcast did corner the market because TiVo tried to – they had all the other services built in. Like if you had a Dish TV or you had a DirecTV or you had a Verizon, you could control all those cables with that DVR. And they tried to do Comcast, and it was nothing but problems. Like you couldn't stop it right. The times it recorded, it changed, and – it was nothing but problems. I have a feeling Comcast did that for a reason, because they didn't want anybody else buying a TiVo. You know, they wanted people to buy their DVR and pay for their DVR. You know, and it just, I can't wait for the day, you know, when it comes out. I can't. I mean, I you know, and the X1's not bad. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't get the X1. They advertise in the commercials. I don't know where that one is.
Oh, yeah.
That one. because they're like, oh, you could talk to it, you could do this. Mine doesn't do any of that. I talk to it and it just sits there because it's a remote and it doesn't know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But
and then like you could talk to your phone, and then you talk to your phone and goes, you're like, hey, put on HBO, and then here comes Skinamax while your mother-in-law's over, and you're like, oh, that's what I wanted to watch.
That's always what I want.
And she's just looking at you, you know, angrily and judging you. You're like, ugh, this is one of your favorite channels, isn't it? I can't believe it. I told my daughter not to marry you. You know, what are you doing? You know, and then she looks over at her and she's like, I can't believe you married him. You're kind of pathetic.
I mean, I get that, you know, and especially coming, you know, towards you. I mean, I know the type of guy you are, so it makes sense. No, and, you know, actually, I want to go a little off topic here, and I don't do this normally, but I think I'm going out on a limb here. I'm going to admit that I was wrong about something.
Your sexuality?
No. I still haven't figured that one out yet, so I never made a decision on that.
Okay, because I know you have a thing about, you know, with Brady Hicks for a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I call him Brady Dicks, but that's a little different. We'll get into that later. No. Last week, I think it was last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the issue with Ben Affleck playing Batman. And I think I made a really valid argument on why I believe it wouldn't be a bad thing. And I think, you know, all the things that we stated. Mm-hmm. Well, this week, you know, they released a little bit of information on, you know, what the Batman and Superman movie is going to be. And, you know, the director is Zack Snyder. And they basically said that what they're doing with this is the Batman that's playing in it is going to be a more mature, more experienced Dark Knight. And my argument was that the Batman that Ben Affleck was playing was not the Dark Knight. It was Batman. And
yeah,
for that, he was perfect. But it turns out he's actually going to be playing the Dark Knight just in the Batman and Superman movie.
So now you hate the idea.
So now I'm not so sure about the idea. I don't know if, I mean, because Christian Bale's version of Batman is a really hard version to live up to. It's just like Heath Ledger's version of the Joker. It's really hard to live up to. I don't know if Ben Affleck can do it. I'm not saying he can't. I'm saying I might have been wrong about this. You know, I was really looking forward to it. And I thought that the Dark Knight Batman was done. I thought that was the plan. I thought that one was done, and they were going to, you know, start with regular Batman, you know, Batman Light, whatever you want to call it. But apparently,
well,
they're not.
I know we strongly defended last show against Dean about
his view on
opinion Dark Knight. On Dark Knight. But I do have to say, I'm kind of falling towards Dean's side on this one.
About the Dark Knight?
Yeah.
No, shut up. Dean, go back.
I'm sorry. I heard Dean. I'll be over here.
Even in this conversation.
Well, no, I'm not saying no. I still think Dark Knight was an amazing movie, and
Well, have you been to thedarkknightsucks.com?
Oh, God. Is it like a propaganda site on how the Dark Knight sucks?
It is brilliant. Every argument that Dean had... Dean, I don't know if you saw this website before I showed it to you, but it was like every website or every argument that Dean was having, this guy was bringing up and going into detail.
I never saw it before you tweeted it to me, but validation is the only thing I can say. I'll be back over here, Donnie. Continue defending this terrible movie.
No, I still stand by that, and I've actually had conversations with people after we had the show, and everybody has really been on my side with that. I'm not going to change my opinion because of a website. That movie, when I saw it, and I still think to this day, you know, I think it was a great movie. I think Christian Bale did amazing. I think Heath Ledger did amazing. I think Aaron Eckhart did amazing. I think it was great from top to bottom. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I don't know if Ben Affleck is going to be able to play that Batman the way it's supposed to be played. You know, like I said, I'm not saying he can't. I'm saying I don't know if he will be able to. Now, I'm sure a lot of people had the same issues when they said Christian Bale was going to play Batman. You know, But then again, if you look back, a lot of people said the same thing when, like, Val Kilmer, George Clooney, and a couple guys did it, and they bombed. You know, so it's like, now I'm not as excited about this as I was previously. I mean, I think, you know, the guy who plays Superman, Henry Cavill or whatever his name is, I think he did really well. I think he did. I liked the way he played him, and I thought, you know, it gave a little different twist on Superman. I hope that they can do the same thing for, you know, for Batman. I mean, they said that, you know, there's going to be quite a few storylines. They said at some point Batman and Superman will be fighting each other. You know, apparently the fact that Superman destroyed half of, you know, his city in the movie, that's going to weigh on him. You know, a couple other things will, you know, are storylines that are going in the movie, but I just don't know if, you know, if Ben Affleck can play the Dark Knight. What do you think? Do you think he can? Do you think he can reach in his bag of acting tricks and do it, or do you think it's going to bomb?
I think he can because he's not playing like that, you know, like this young badass Dark Knight. He's playing like an older, slower, wiser type Bat. I mean, as long as he doesn't have the Boston accent, I don't care. Batman.
I'm Batman.
Hey, Superman. I hear
Robin.
Superman. I hear you want to fight me. Yeah, that's my Ben Affleck.
That fight was wicked hardcore. yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I just, you know, I had a really valid argument for it before, and I stood by that argument. Now I saw this, and I'm like, you know, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go. I hope they can. I mean, basically every superhero movie that comes out nowadays is a huge moneymaker, and this has potential to be a ridiculous moneymaker.
Like, who?
You know, I mean, look at what the Avengers did. You know, I like the Avengers because I'm a superhero fan, but the storyline wasn't amazing. Like, it wasn't amazing acting, but it was just the Avengers and the collaboration of all these stars from all these movies. So I don't know. You know, it has the potential to make a lot of money, and there could be a lot of it could be a couple sequels off it, and they could do a lot of stuff with it if they do it right.
Yeah, and they will, because what they're building. They're building upon things for the big payoff, just like they built upon all the other, like the first set of movies. You know, you had Thor, you had there was some
Captain America.
Edward Norton was the Hulk, and then he just wasn't. And then you had the Iron Man movies, and you know I don't know where Jeremy Renner fits in, but you know, they gave Jason Bourne a bow. Or, you know, Jason Bo. But, you know, you had those movies that built towards it. Now they're doing it again. They're doing they have Thor 2, Captain America, Winter Soldier's coming now, you know, Iron Man 3 and stuff like that. Like, these are all going to build up towards
Avengers 2.
Yeah, Avengers 2.
You know, and that's actually a good, a good comparison. I mean, you were talking about the Hulk, and you had Edward Norton come out. Well, you had Eric Bana, which was horrible. But you had Edward Norton play the Hulk, which I thought was really good. I thought he did really well. And I'm a fan of Edward Norton. I mean, I've always liked his movies. You know, Fight Club is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
So then you had Mark Ruffalo play him, and he didn't do that bad. You know, he did pretty good as the Hulk, you know. So, I mean, this might be the same type of situation.
Yeah, because Mark Ruffalo, he's like a, you know, wimpy guy. You're not really thinking he's going to, like, do anything. And then, when I first heard it was like, oh, Edward Norton's out, Mark Ruffalo's in, I'm like, that's stupid. They are stupid. An angry email, and I said, you're stupid. And no response. And then they made the movie anyway.
They didn't respond to you?
No.
Oh, wow. I'm shocked.
And I wrote in that email, I said, I expect a timely return. And they did not return my email.
Nice. But yeah, I mean, I was with you. I thought the same thing. But then when I watched the Avengers, he did really well. I thought it was really well done. So, you know, this might be the same type of situation. This might be the same type of situation where, you know, we have Christian Bale who did it, and, you know, you have Ben Affleck come in and do it, and it might be just as good. It might not be, though. So, I'm not 100% sure, you know, how it's going to go. I'm not sure where I stand on it.
True. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know, you know, I can't argue with your opinion.
Well, you can't, because I'm amazing. But...
No, because it's wrong. Because, no, I think it'll be good. I think it'll be good. I don't think with the people attached to it, they're going to let it, you know, let it bomb. Because they know what's on the line.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I mean, I'm sure they'll put a lot of money into it, and, you know, it'll be really good. And that's the good thing about movies nowadays. I mean, even when, you know, they're not that good, usually if they put a lot of money into it, it's not horrible. You know, even with the Transformers, I mean, I was a fan of the Transformer movies. I liked them. Not because they were anything special, not because the storyline was amazing or anything like that. I just liked them. I enjoyed them. I think the graphics were good, and I think a lot of other things were good. But it's because they put a lot of money into it. You know what I mean? They had so much money into it that they were like, you know, it was hard not to be good. But yeah, I'm excited. I mean, we, you know, a lot of good movies coming out. I know, from what I understood, you just saw Thor 2. Am I not mistaken?
Brilliant movie.
Was it? You liked it a lot?
I wouldn't go on and say brilliant. I mean, you know, and I know I just did, but it was really good. It was fun. I'm not a big Thor fan, you know, but I had a great time. It, you know, kept me entertained the entire time. Had a little bit of comedy, a little bit of romance, a little bit of action. You know, I had everything. And it wasn't, like, confusing. It told a good story.
Well, yeah, and I saw it, too, and... And actually, it was funny, you know, my girlfriend, who's not a big fan of this movie, said she might want to see that movie. She didn't say for sure, but she's like, oh, I might see that. So, you know, it's starting to get that cross appeal to all kinds of fan bases, which is really neat. Even people who aren't fans of the comic books that can go and watch movies like that and enjoy them, you know.
Yeah.
And even people that aren't fans, you know, it's starting to have a renewed interest into the comic book scene. People are like, oh, I kind of want to see what this whole thing is about. Where did this come from? How did this start? And now they're going back and, you know, going into the old comic books and seeing, you know, what was there and what happened.
Exactly. Like, I don't want to, you know, say anything for you, but after the end, you can see that they're building towards something.
Oh, they did that spot. They do it after all the Marvel movies?
Yeah.
Okay. That's something I really like, too. That's really unique. I mean, a lot of people, you wait for that now. You wait for that spot to see, and it builds up. It's just like a storyline. You build up, you build that cliffhanger, and you're like, oh, God, I can't wait to see the next one. And I can't wait to see the next one. And, you know, that's what I really like about it. And it's one of those things where they could have these storylines going for a long, long time. You know, just like the Bond movies, just like all those movies that have been on forever. You know, they can have these storylines going and keep an interest in the storylines that are going.
Yeah.
And
I think one of the really good things they did with Mark Ruffalo was they really kind of, like, bridged that, or I don't know about, you know, if that's the right term, but they really kind of made it where you don't need to be, like, you don't need to be the guy that, you know, like, Iron Man doesn't have to be played by Robert Downey Jr. Like, they can find a guy and say, okay, he's the new Iron Man now. And people, if he's good, they'll accept it, you know?
Oh, exactly. Like, I'm sure you'll have the same backlash or whatever.
Before it was Michael Keaton was Batman. You know, even when... The Dark Knight came out. There, people were like, "What do you mean? It's Michael Keaton's Batman." Like, what are you talking about? You know, until I think the Avengers did it, I don't really think it was pulled off successfully.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was either, you know, and they finally did it, and it was. You know, are you a fan, just out of curiosity, nowadays you have a lot of these movies that come out, and it's trilogy movies. It's always trilogies, you know. I think it really started kind of with The Matrix, was one of the first
yes,
ones.
Yes, I am a fan of The Matrix.
But are you a fan of the trilogy thing, like all these movies that just have trilogies now?
It depends. I mean, I like if it's done smart. Like,
okay,
take The Hangover for example. You know, they claimed that was, you know, oh, you know, this is a trilogy. It's supposed to be that way. I lost where I was going with that. Oh yeah, I'm not a big fan of that, where you just kind of shoehorn a trilogy in there. If it's like Pirates of the Caribbean, they made it. The first one was a huge success, so they made two more to kind of, you know, go along with that same narrative.
Yeah,
that, you know, that works. But the whole planned trilogy thing, if it's done right, yeah, you know.
Well, see, I'm a fan. I like it when you have, I guess, a series or a movie or something where if you're going to do a certain amount of episodes or a trilogy or a certain amount of movies where the director knows from the beginning how it's going to end. Like, take Breaking Bad. The director knew in Breaking Bad how that was going to end. It wasn't going to drag it out. He wasn't going to, you know, depend on how many seasons got renewed or whatever. He knew that no matter what, even if it got renewed for 1,000 seasons, it was only going to go for a certain amount of time, and it was going to end at a certain point.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is when you have, and I take series, TV series like this all the time, that, you know, maybe a director's like, oh, we're going to do this, and it's going to start out like this, and I want to end it like this. But then they keep getting renewed, and he's like, oh, we're just going to keep going. Well, after 5 seasons or 2 seasons or 10 seasons, it starts to lose its luster. You know, it starts to lose its focus and direction, and it becomes boring again.
Yeah, and that's what that's what I think a lesson that, you know, the Breaking Bad guys learned from, like, Lost. Lost,
yeah.
Abrams said, listen, I have a beginning, middle, and end. That's what I'm going with. No matter how long it is, I'm going to get my beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah.
And because they didn't have, like, because they didn't do it the way Breaking Bad did, where they said, listen, I don't care. I'm going 5-6 seasons, and that's my story. Like,
yeah.
You can renew me for 12 seasons. I'm not making it, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody was on board with that. And everybody knew that was the deal from the beginning. Became, you watched it, and then you're 6 seasons in, and it's still going, and you have no fucking clue what's going on because no questions are being answered. There's just more questions that are being brought up. And after a while, you just get tired of questioning everything, and you just give up on the whole thing.
Well, yeah, and I think another good example of what can happen, and actually the good and the bad, is you take the Fast and Furious series. You know,
there is nothing wrong with the Fast and the Furious series, with the exception of 2 and 3.
Well, that's my point. Like, you know, they did the first one, and it, you know, everybody liked it. Then they were kind of, oh, we're going to renew it and do it, and they lost its luster. And luckily, they picked it back up towards the end, and, you know, with the addition of The Rock and a couple things, you know, it made it appealing again. But that's what happens when you have no focus, when you have no idea of, you know, kind of where you're going and what you want to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, you can lose it, and, you know, next thing you know, you have your racing cars in Tokyo. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and I just can't stand the second and third one.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm with you 100% on that. I you know, I completely am. You know, the last two have been really good, with. And I'm saying, I think The Rock, I mean, the guy's so friggin' money right now. It's insane. Anytime everybody's fledging, like even the G.I. Joe, it was going bad, they put him in, look at it. makes a bank. Have you seen Pain and Gain?
Amazing.
Amazing movie. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that guy is so money right now, but that's what happens. I mean, you know, you have an idea where you're like, oh, I don't know where I'm going, whatever, and then, you know, you lose it. Luckily, they picked it back up and they did whatever. So I don't know how much time we have. Are we doing an hour this time?
We can go over a bit.
Well, I was going to say, just as a last segment, I would like to do a little thing. I want to bring up some things that happened in the news this week and kind of, you know, talk about them, see what your feelings are about them. So, few things that happened this week. One thing that happened, which I know you've been dying for this, and I know you're so excited. Nicolas Cage has sex photos, X-rated photos with his ex-wife, the mother of his son. Aren't you excited? Justin?
No.
Is it just me, or does it seem like every 5 seconds there's new sex photos out? Just men, women, just everything.
Thanks. Thanks.
I think nowadays to make it in Hollywood, you have to have sex photos. I don't think you can make it if you don't. I think that's like a requirement now.
Well, apparently Nicolas Cage won an Academy Award without them, and then I guess he can't afford his island in Fiji anymore, so he puts them out and ruins my day.
Well, he's trying to bump his career back up, and the best way to do that is by sex photos. You know, I mean, there's people now, you take a look at the Kardashians or Paris Hilton or any of them, the only reason they're famous is because of their sex tapes.
Yeah.
It's the only reason.
Yeah.
And it amazes me that, and I mean, I know it's not
going to change. There are whores that parents don't care if their kids like, you know, it's not like, you know, the problem is like you take like a porn star, right?
Uh-huh.
She's actively doing that. You know, that's her job, right? And
yeah.
People shun that. But you take some whore like Paris Hilton and it's, oh, well, she gets a TV show for it. Why? Because she's out giving blowjobs and getting drunk? Like, fuck her.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the fact we idolize that in our society, it just amazes me. I mean, it gives... you know, our children just horrible ways to look up and think good things about people. I mean, you know, the fact that, you know, a girl like Paris Hilton got famous and now she's adored and loved and parents are okay with that is ridiculous. She might be a nice person. She might be the nicest person you ever met and maybe she does a lot of charity or whatever. But the only reason she got famous was because of the sex tape. And for parents to think that's okay and let their children... you know, buy her products and watch her show and do this. It makes no sense to me. It just doesn't. I mean, I would never, you know, when I was a kid, that was frowned upon. Like, oh, if someone had a sex tape, they were looked at as like a deviant, you know, like if you want to have a sex tape with your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend and send pictures and that's between you two, that's fine. But to do it and share it with the world and have it out there. And mind you, she's had
don't even give me this bullshit of, oh, they didn't know that was getting released. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Fuck out of here. That's just like Hulk Hogan has a sex tape. It's like, dude, you're like 60 years old. Why are you having sex? Aren't you going to throw out your hip again? Like, it just, it makes no sense. I just don't get it. What else happened since last time? Oh, Red Sox won the World Series. You know, the guys who don't shave their beards for the whole month have won the World Series. How do you feel about that? Is that a slow clap?
Yeah, I can care less about baseball.
Oh yeah, you're not a baseball fan. I forgot. I love baseball. You know, my team obviously is the Phillies, and I was glad to see you know, Shane Victorino, who was pretty important in the World
Series. I like to see Shane get another ring.
I was happy for him. You know, and actually, of all the teams to win it, I don't hate the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Only because they're rivals against the Yankees, and I hate every single Yankees fan in the world.
Yeah.
They're so obnoxious.
They should be put on fire just like the Kardashians.
They're such douchebags. Like, I just can't stand them. Oh, my God. Now, I'm not saying Red Sox fans are much better, but out of the two, I'd rather. And I felt bad because, you know, the Red Sox hadn't won a World Series in 80-some years until 2004.
The other thing, though, is Yankees fans are Giants fans, and nobody likes Giants fans.
Nobody likes the Giants.
No, there's plenty of people that think that, too.
What'd they go, 0-6 this year for the first six games, 0-7?
Yeah.
Like, come on. You know, I hate
it. It's not much better than the Eagles' 0-16 record last year.
Well, yeah, I'll give you that. But I'll tell you what, the Eagles are on fire, man. They put Foles in. Shoo!
Yeah, I don't know where Napoleon Dynamite started playing football, but he's good.
I the kid is amazing. He has 10 touchdowns in two games. He tied a record I think only Tom Brady has. So, like, I can't believe the kid's on fire.
Zero interceptions.
Yeah. Like, are you kidding me? Like, where did he come from? Where did this prodigy come from?
Yeah. The beginning of the year, everyone's like, oh, Foles, he's going to be crap. He's not going to do anything.
And now he's one of the best, in two games, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. We got some idiot savant who was amazing at football, you know, that we weren't using.
Yeah.
And now he's just killing it every game.
Like, I can see the conversation in the locker room, you know, like, Chip Kelly is like Uncle Rico. He's, you know, flexing his arms, telling him, he's like, you know, Napoleon, I used to be able to throw football over that mountain over there. And then Nick Foles turns to him and he's like, well, I have football skills. Listen here, Napoleon. See, Michael Vick is injured this week. So I'm going to put you in, see what you can do. And then he throws 7 touchdowns.
it just amazed me. But hey, I'm glad to be an Eagles fan. You know, it's fun to watch that kid play. And thank God the NFC is so. I mean our division is so shitty because without that.
If the NFC East weren't absolute. No, the NFC in general, with the exception of the.
Yeah. So, thank God they're all so shitty they kept us in contention.
Yeah. So, which is funny because it could, you know, NFC Championship could come down to Dallas and the New Orleans Saints, Eagles or New Orleans Saints, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely could. And seeing what Foles does, I mean, you know, when he went out the first game and did that, everybody was like, we played the Raiders, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And you know, he said, it was a fluke and the Raiders were just as much as, we were. Then, you know, this week comes out and it's like, oh, maybe this kid's not a fluke. I mean, it's twice in a row and he looked, you know, almost as good as he did the first game. So, I mean, granted, he had 7 touchdowns the first game. I mean, no one's going to do that every game, but still had 3, you know what I mean? So I'm like, geez.
Yeah.
You know, this kid's good, so he might be the real deal, you know? And if you have... you have a guy like Foles playing for you that is the real deal, and even Vic as a backup, that's not a bad way to go.
No.
You know.
No. You have 2 starting quarterbacks.
Yeah. Good starting quarterbacks. Not even, like, iffy.
Now the question is, Vic gets healthy. Do you keep him benched? Or do you let the guy that's on fire keep playing?
I think, and I would like to think that, you know, Vic is mature enough to realize this. You know, you do kind of what's best for the team.
Yeah, he's got to stay. I mean, look at Tom Brady, right?
Yeah.
Tom Brady, he was a nobody. He was, what, 7th round draft pick, some bullshit like that? 3rd, 4th, 5th round? I know he was low. He wasn't a number 1 draft pick.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
he was like their backup quarterback or backup quarterback or some bullshit. Their quarterback goes down. He starts, becomes Tom Brady. Like... here's a guy that college was just kind of like, all right, he's an all right quarterback. He's good, you know. He'll be good as a warm-up guy or a backup guy. And then they give him a shot, and, you know, that game, he becomes Tom Brady. Like, People are like, where the hell did this guy come from? He sucked and, the couch. Now he's amazing.
Now you have a situation where, and I'm not, and I know as much as I don't want to knock Andy Reid because he's doing amazing right now. You know, you have a situation where, you know, these guys are excited to play for Foles. Now, whether it's because Foles is really good or they're just playing at a different level because it's different or they're excited, you don't want to take him out right now.
Nah.
Now, if he starts, if he goes out there and starts fucking up and starts throwing interceptions and doing whatever, then maybe you think about it. But for right now, you tell Vic, hey, Vic, not that we don't think you're good, but, you know, there's a fire under their ass right now. Let them play. It's what's best for the team, you know. And I would hope Vic in his maturity would be able to see that and not, you know, pull a T.O. and get all butthurt and cry about it.
I think he's you know, in those meetings, like, look, you can't be putting me in there yet because this kid's on fire.
Yeah, that's the right thing to do. You take your ego aside. You put it aside. He's still going to get paid either way. It's not like he's going to lose money, and they're not losing games. So,
and you know what they're getting at this point? You know what they're getting out of Michael Vick? They're getting out of him something that you know, people thought maybe they might be able to get out of him. They're getting a fucking an all-star quarterback as a coach. You know, like in between plays, he's pulling Foles aside like, hey, you know, move this way. You know, he's telling him different things to do, you know, what to look out for. And it's like, you know, that's why that guy was brought in. So that way he could groom the next quarterback. And it just happens to be that, fuck, it might be Nick Foles. Nick Foles might be the next quarterback.
Yeah, he might. And, you know, and you got to say, too, if just for some reason, you know, Chip Kelly's like, oh, well, I'm going to take him out and put Vic in. You know, the backlash from the fans that they would receive for that, like, it would be insane.
Well, Jeffrey Lurie obviously doesn't care about that, otherwise he would have let Andy Reid go a long time ago.
And that was the problem, because Andy Reid would do that. If it was like Nick Foles and McNabb, he would take Foles out to put McNabb in, because he had a heart on it. And that's why I like Chip Kelly, because first of all, he played college ball, you know, and he's used to seeing guys come in and out all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, I don't think he has a certain type of loyalty where it's like, oh, I'm going to put you in because you're my buddy. He's like, no, I'm going to leave whoever's in, whoever's helping us win. You know, and he's not saying that Vic can't do that, but why mess something up when it's not broken? Why fix it when it's not broken?
You know, college ball has a lot more of a baseball mentality where that guy that's on fire, he's your guy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's one thing I like about baseball. When you have a guy that's on fire, they leave him in. They have him starting every time. He's, you know, doing whatever. If it's working, keep it going. You know, baseball players are very superstitious. You know what I mean? And they always have been. You know, if you wear your hat one way or you put your tape on your arm one way and you start winning, you don't change that until you lose.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the way it is. Don't change it, man. It's working. You know, and you know what? You, like I said, if something happens and Foles starts screwing up, then you can always put Vic back in. It's not like something you're stuck with for the whole season. You have that option where it's like, okay, you know, you had your chance, kid, and, you know, it's nothing against you. You did really well, but now we got to go this direction because of whatever reason.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, I think I'm ready to end the show. I have no idea what we're going to do next week.
No.
Or in 2 weeks.
We'll have a bit of a PlayStation conversation.
Oh, the review, yes.
If
we will. Keep forgetting.
I'm sure that saying has already been coined or trademarked or whatever, so we'll have a talk about games again, but this time it's PlayStation. So it doesn't sound nice, but whatever.
We will converse about video adventures.
Yes. Also, starting Friday, you can watch me play PlayStation on twitch.tv/awesome82. AWSOM82.
Wow. For those who don't know how to spell awesome, because it's such a difficult word.
Well, there's no E in my awesome.
Okay. Well.
AWSOM82.
Ebonic. Are you spelling it ebonically?
No.
Phonetically?
No. That's how Cobra spells it.
Do you know how phonetic it? Never mind. So, All right. So, yeah, other than that, I mean, we'll be on again in 2 weeks. And I believe that date is the 26th. That is Thanksgiving weekend. We will be here. Well, maybe we'll talk about turkey. You know, maybe we'll have a turducken recipe. That'll be fun.
Sure.
I'll do it. A little John Madden turducken. But yeah, we'll be here talking about the holidays, and you know, whatever floats our boat, stuff in pop culture, and maybe we'll plan a segment ahead of time, like a real segment.
Maybe, just maybe. Well, no, we won't have any surprises.
Well, you know, it would be cool, actually, if we have the fans listening, if they want to hear us talk about something, if they have some subjects, you know. Hit us up on Facebook. You know, Moose Knuckle what's it? Moose Knuckle Entertainment on Facebook.
Yeah, or hit us up on Twitter, Moose KE, or Moose. You can hit me up at AWSOM82.
And you can hit me up at Donnie Warren, DonnieWarren. You know, let us know what you want to talk about. You know, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you guys like and what you guys don't want us to talk about, and the most annoying things you can find about Justin. So, other than that, I think we had a good show, and I think I'm out of here.
Yeah, and remember, check